Tip today, in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie. Nutrition, in association with the Anne D'Arcy Clinic Cashel. AnneD'arcyClinic.com. 062 63436.
Anne, it's good to see you again. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you going?
I'm doing well, but I'm particularly interested in what you're going to talk to me about today, because it's about brain function. And it's something we all need to be taking very seriously, isn't it?
Well, we get one shot at this brain. Yeah. You know, we want to mind it, and it's a vulnerable part of our body. We're now realising that there's a big connection between the brain and the gut. They're calling it the gut-brain connection. A lot of the chemicals that we need for functioning in the brain are actually made in the gut, and they're transmitted through to the brain. So the raw material coming from the gut to the brain, especially brain chemicals such as serotonin to control mood. And then based on what your mood is, it will depend on what stress levels you have. And we know that stress in turn can shut down your digestive function, because when you're stressed, you're meant to be running away from the tiger, not digesting your food. So we know that the gut and the brain are very closely linked. We also know that when we have food that we're eating that we're not digesting well, it's creating an immune reaction in the gut. So this food becomes what they call an antigen, and it is triggering an immune reaction. And with that, we can develop leaky gut. And so when you're talking about leaky gut, we see that the cells lining the gut become leaky, and particles of undigested food or toxins that you've had in the food escape from the gut lining in through the bloodstream and go through the body. We know now that when we have a leaky gut, we can also have a leaky brain. We're seeing an immune system that is creating inflammation, so that the gut lining is leaky, letting in the wrong stuff, and the brain barrier is leaky and letting through the wrong stuff. And there's a lot of research going on in America. Dr. Dale Bredesen is he's a doctor. You know, a couple of weeks ago, he ran a course in Florida for medical doctors, teaching them how do we first recognize and how soon should we recognize and start working on cognitive decline. So this brain function, this brain that should be able to remember things, that should be able to, you know, continue to know how to get dressed in the morning, and when you get into a car, to know where you intended to go and not get lost while you're out driving.
But is there not a natural degeneration, you know, due to age?
And there is. Yeah. There is. But when you start seeing this happening in your 50s or in your 40s, or when you start seeing it even in your 60s, when you had the potential to go till your 90s, there was always a degree of senile dementia. But now what we're getting is what we're calling Alzheimer's dementia. And what they've been able to see in their studies is that there are reasons for this Alzheimer's dementia. There's a toxicity that's going to the brain. The brain is trying to recover itself. It's building amyloid, but the amyloid is there trying to protect the brain. It's a protective mechanism. There are people with certain genetics that have a higher risk, of course, and they're starting to study that even more. But when you're looking at cognitive decline, there's groups that he has now isolated, and there can be crossover. But he said, if you have ongoing inflammation, whether it's treated or untreated, but the fact that you could be on anti-inflammatory medications for it, but that you have inflammation, they have another one called glycotoxicity, which is sugar toxicity.
Yes.
So people with that insulin resistance, people who have the belly weight, and they may be on or off medications for type 2 diabetes, but this sugar imbalance problem that they're working to control are not even aware that it is an issue. But when we see people with skin tags, people putting a lot of weight on their belly, people with sugar cravings, your sugar balance is out of control in some way. There's another group that is the hormonal control. Mm. So here there's all kinds of buttons and wires, and they're controlling everything. And in our body, we have hormonal control that are like these buttons and control switches. Mm. And they are our hormones and our enzymes. But we're seeing lack of that hormonal control. We're seeing people losing their thyroid function, losing testosterone in the men, losing estrogen in the women. And we're seeing this hormonal balance, very high cortisol levels from stress again. And again, this is linked back to the gut. So when you're seeing sugar imbalance, or you're seeing inflammation, you're seeing the loss of that hormonal control. And another factor then was toxicity. And we know that there's a lot of bacteria, viruses, fungus in the body system, and people are fighting, say, the herpes virus, the Epstein-Barr virus, they've got chronic fatigue syndrome, or people that have had Lyme disease, or undiagnosed Lyme disease is coming through as a big factor when we're looking at what's going on in the brain. So you've got these, either the bacteria, the viruses, the fungus, or you've got the toxins that are being produced from the bacteria, viruses and fungus. You've got toxins like heavy metals that we may get in our water supply. And we just have an overabundance of these challenges. And this brain should be able to survive it, but it's not surviving
isn't
well.
Isn't it amazing that, you know, even when we talk about having diabetes or the prevalence of it or inflammation that causes arthritis or whatever, we never think of it in terms of the damage that it's doing to the brain.
We don't. We forget about it. And then it's only when you start, you know, saying, oh, I'm trying to remember, and you're clicking your fingers and you're saying, it's at the back of my brain, hold on. And then you get out of it by saying hello to somebody without remembering their name. And we all can have it.
Yeah.
And because we're able to cover it up, and we cover it up for a long time. Nobody wants to lose that driver's license. So they pretend everything is fine, and even family members pretend everything is fine.
Yeah.
And what you just have to realize is that the quicker you start working on it, and your food is what is going into your system every day, and your lifestyle that you're living, very important is to start getting exercise, because if the exercise is building brain tissue all the time, and even if it's only 20 minutes to 30 minutes that you make that effort, 6 days a week to get out and do that walk. So, you know, exercise is really important. Eating food that is good, real food, you know, not highly sugared things. Be aware of how much sugar you're having. So if you're having a bowl of porridge in the morning, put seeds in the porridge, put lecithin, which is great for brain function. Have your meat, but if you're highly inflamed, they're looking now at maybe adding more fish and less of the meat. They really were saying use meat as your condiment, you know, which really means have lesser portions of meat. They're very much talking about controlling blood sugar balance, and, you know, having some grain, but not an overabundance of grain. Not having a lot of white sugar product, really. White sugar, white bread, white biscuits, you know. White is going to create a blood sugar that's out of control. So, you know, I suppose really what's coming through is you have to reduce your inflammation, you have to manage your blood sugars better. You have to get on top of hormonal imbalance when the hormonal system is the regulation system of the body. And if it's gone out of balance, you're trying to bring it back into control in some way. Now, a lot of people are going on medications for thyroid, and sometimes, you know, there's an autoimmune thyroid, and then other times it's that you're lacking iodine and you need selenium to help you work your thyroid better.
Can you, I mean, if you've done some damage and maybe you're in your 50s or whatever, can you begin to regain some of those cells that might have died off in your brain?
Nowadays, people are talking about neuroplasticity. There was the thought that once you killed brain cells, they were gone.
They were gone,
but now they're seeing more true research that there's something called neuroplasticity. If you give the proper nutrients back, if you give the fish oils back in and the good essential fatty acids, and you give the good food, you reduce down the inflammation, you're giving all of those nutrients that are coming in, your fruit, your vegetables, nuts, seeds, berries, and you're flooding the body with good nutrition. And what they're saying is you can't supplement your way out of something. Supplements are great to give you help, but you can't supplement yourself out of what is an eating habit and a lifestyle disease. You really have to make the effort to change. And what they're saying is, you know, it's almost like a rich man's problem. And he said, excuse me for saying this, people have challenged me, but you want people to make a major change to save their brain. And what Dr. Bredesen said is people are bargaining with him. Well, I'll do this little bit and I'll do that little bit, but I don't really want to do. Can we call it a first world problem?
Yeah.
That you've got so much that you feel you can't let go of. And yet your brain is what you could be letting go of unless you take care of it.
I know that very soon we'll talk about it in more detail, but alcohol, in terms of the damage that that does, how profound is that?
And it is, because think about what the alcohol is. It is a toxin to your liver, and your liver is working hard to detoxify that alcohol. And again, it depends on how much you're having of it. And they'd always say, oh, a glass of red wine is good for you because it has the resveratrol and that's good for your heart. But you can get alcohol-free red wine, which will do the same thing. And for some people, they'll say, oh, I'm less stressed if I have the wine. But a lot of alcohol in a person can also create a stressful environment, you know, from it. So alcohol, we're better off minimizing it or or without it. It is a sugar, it is a high carbohydrate, and it is a yeasted fermented drink, a lot of it. You know, so if you're on spirits, it's not yeasty, but if you're on beers, it is yeast. Right. If you're on
ciders, if sugar is your problem,
you really have to look at the beers and the ciders and that. And if your yeast is your problem, you have to look at the beer that is full of yeast, because we're seeing people.
But again, like what we said before, if I think of an alcohol problem, I think of the damage to my liver. I don't necessarily think about the damage to my brain.
You don't think about it to your brain, but yet, just say you have a yeast problem and you were drinking a yeasty drink, and you had an immune reaction to that yeasty drink, and it is creating an inflammation in your system, then it is going to create that leaky gut, which can lead on to the leaky brain. We have blood tests to check for leaky gut, and we have blood tests now to check for leaky brain. Have you an immune system reaction against the blood-brain barrier? Are you opening the barrier? So when we see neurodegenerative, we see Alzheimer's, that's a neurodegenerative, we see Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, motor neuron, we see autism in the children. So when we're seeing an immune system problem where you're eating food that is creating an inflammatory reaction, and that inflammation is creating inflammation in the brain, and we're eating foods that is creating a high sugar load, high sugar toxicity, like the belly that you'd call the beer belly is a sugar belly. I mean, there's a person with that big belly that is not drinking beer, that can be just eating bread and biscuits and sweets. And as you go, you know, you're going into the Christmas period and there's boxes of biscuits lined up everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's soft drinks coming into houses that never do. And there's people going to land with any amount of cakes. And you have to start looking at it and say, is this good for me and will it leave me healthy at the end of it, or is this going to have a negative impact on me? Because you can equally bring fruit and berries and nuts and seeds and create different packages. You know, you want to bring this box of biscuits. Well, why don't you buy a big basket of fruit and bring it on instead?
Right.
Because if you're bringing more natural food, you're going to have a more natural reaction.
And you're going to feel better.
You're going to feel better, because the person who puts the fork to the mouth, you know, when you're an adult, you control what you put in your own mouth. When you have children, you the adult, are controlling what's on their plate.
Yes.
And, you know, the more we realize that the current dietary habits are creating the epidemic of illness that's out there, and we really have to reverse back and pretend that we're in the 1900s and in what we're eating. So we have to start choosing differently.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. If people want to talk to yourself, or indeed Siobhan, about doing something about this.
How can they do so? So we're at the Andarcy Clinic in Cashel. Siobhan Dalton is my sister, and she's a nutritional therapist, and she takes people through a lot of programs and has great successes in reducing the belly weight in people who have this problem. And we're at at the Andarcy Clinic in Cashel, 4 Canopy Street, Cashel, and it's 062-634-36.
All right, good to see you, Anne. Thanks very much, friend.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Welcome back to TIP today. Let's go to Trudy Waters now for some breaking news, Trudy.
Yes, indeed. Very good news for Tipperary. Very good news for Lisheen Mines. Lisheen Mines and another project in Tipperary had sought a significant amount of funding under the Regional Enterprise Development Fund. And this was for the redevelopment of the mines. As you know, they closed there in 2015. And they have secured funding now for that. So $4.5 million. So that's a major boost for the mine. So it's the project will go to the company. It's Irish Bioeconomy Foundation. It's been approved for the funding. And it's the development of state-of-the-art national bioeconomy innovation and piloting, encompassing flexible, modular, pilot-scaled, multi-purpose chemical and biological infrastructure.
Well, so it's a mouthful, but it's good news.
It is. It's very good news. And I know we'll be speaking to Joe McGrath tomorrow from Tipperary County Council, a number of the councillors involved, all of those that have been involved in it, because as you know, it's an area that badly needs a boost like this, and it's a fantastic example of what can be done with a mine that is no longer in use, and turning it into something, into bioenergy, is absolutely fantastic. So we just wanted to bring you that bit of good news there. We'll have much more detail on this later today, and indeed tomorrow, but also the second project. There was a second project, unfortunately, that was the Enterprise Centre. They were looking to develop and expand.
It was in Thurles.
Very successful Enterprise Centre. Weren't successful this time, but I know I've been speaking to those involved, and while disappointed, they hope that, you know, for the next tranche of funding, and again, we'll be looking at that tomorrow too.
All right, thanks for that, Trudy. Some good news indeed for Tipperary. Now, more good news for Tipperary, because the Tipperary-based company has taken on a new challenge at Dublin Zoo, believe it or not. Thurles-based Ryan's Cleaning has been contracted to Dublin Zoo for about 16 years or more. With the opening of the Wild Lights attraction, they have now extended their cleaning to include nighttime operations. And the managing director is Pat Ryan, and Pat is online with me. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Well, for starts, congratulations to you, Pat, but you're no strangers to this business, because I think the company is about 30 years old, is it?
It is. It's going back many years now at this stage. We established really during the failures in the early 90s, and we saw a gap in the market there, and we kicked on from there.
And you've even had some contracts overseas in the UK.
We've become very strong in the UK now. We've done a lot of major events over there, and you know, we do a lot of the high-profile outdoor events like concerts. We do other events in Hyde Park. We've done quite a bit for to do with even the royal family over there.
Go on.
For a small little firm, kind of from from mid Tipperary, we like to think we have branched out a good bit.
Now, what do you do for the royal family?
The last event we done there was to do with the Queen, where they had a thing on the Mall, a kind of picnic day for everyone. That was last June, 12 months ago, and they had 5,000 people at a sit-down meal or picnic, a sit-down picnic there, where Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip were actually in attendance as well, and we were brought in to cater for the cleaning needs of that.
Isn't that incredible? And before Fela, Pat, did you have a cleaning business before that?
We did. We've always been involved in the cleaning business, mainly with offices and the likes and what have you. And prior to that, but our strength now lies in what we call event cleaning.
Right. And what happens where the workers, are they contracted for specific gigs then, or have you them on the books, or how does that work?
Oh yeah, no, we have quite a few on the books. It would range kind of full time from between on average 48 to 90, depending on what's happening there during the year, regarding full time work. But that can vary then. The average part time stuff then during the summer months, for the want of a better way, it could be 250 to 500 people on any given weekend, depending on what's on.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. For instance, in August here now, we would do the Leeds Festival, but also the Creamfields Festivals. They run in parallel with one another. So we would have an average of 400 staff there between both them festivals.
And as you say, this is I'm sorry to say to you, Pat, I wasn't aware of your company, and here you are doing some of the biggest festivals in the Isles, you know?
We are, you know what I mean, because we were even involved in some of the bigger things like the Ryder Cup in 2006. Before that, we'd done the Special Olympics in 2003. But more recently, we were involved in the Olympics in London in 2012, where we done the events that were held in Hyde Park. For instance, we were literally camped almost in Hyde Park for 6 weeks. And we done Victoria Park at the same time, and we done the bicycle race around London as well at that time. So yeah, there's been quite a bit happening there.
And I would imagine that there's huge competition in that business, tendering for this work.
Well, funny enough, in the early days it wasn't too much, but now people are beginning to see the benefits of it. And sure, yes, sure as day follows night, the competition is getting a little bit more hotter, all right. But we're pleased to say kind of that, not being boastful or anything, we reckon we're better than any of the UK firms over there. We do it on time, right, every time, you know.
And does technology play a part in this as well, Pat?
It is, to a certain degree. Technology is coming into it. For instance, we would have what we call trilo machines now, which are massive vacuum cleaners, for the want of a better way of putting it. It'd be something like a silage harvester, and they collect a fair bit of rubbish, but there's an awful lot of rubbish that they can't collect that has to be done manually.
Right.
And of course, recycling is coming in the day and age we live in now. Recycling is coming into it in a big way as well.
I was going to ask you about that, in fact, in terms of disposal of the rubbish. That must be a bit of a headache, is it?
Oh, it's a nightmare, to be honest with you, Fran. But slowly but surely, we're getting a handle on it.
Yeah.
For instance, we would say that about 80 to 90% of the rubbish is diverted from landfill, which is no small achievement nowadays, you know.
Right, yeah.
For instance, in Croke Park now, we have a recycling program going on up there, and it's 100% diverted from landfill up there.
Isn't that 100% everything?
100, it's the only stadium in Europe that's certified in that line.
Isn't that fantastic altogether? And the Dublin Zoo one, I'm intrigued at that. Now, you've been involved with Dublin Zoo for what, 16 years?
16 years now we've been up there working with them, and we've won the tender every time it has gone out, thankfully. But we have great staff up there, but more importantly, we have staff and ourselves, we communicate almost on a daily basis with the people in Dublin Zoo.
Right.
And there's a great relationship in particular between there.
I presume that's specialised cleaning, is it?
It would. For instance, one of the things that we're very proud of in Dublin Zoo was when we went in there 16 years ago, there was a phenomenal amount of claims from toilets, wet floors and toilets and things like that.
Mm.
And that has all but been eliminated now with the regular cleaning regime that we've established here.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Of course, that would be a huge issue for you,
to make sure
that there's not litigation over anything, yeah?
Yeah, the public liability end of it is massive nowadays, Fran. Absolutely. I can't stress enough how important that is.
Right. Isn't it incredible?
Yeah, and the same would apply in Tree Arena, where you have a lot of drink spilt. For instance, on the darts nights, they sell more drink on a darts night up there than they would at any music concert.
Go on.
Yeah, and the spillage is phenomenal.
Do you have a favourite event or venue that you look after, Pat? Is there something in particular that stands out for you?
Well, not really at this stage, because we've done so many of them. Now, the one that I've always had great affinity for, and I will always remember to the end of my day, is the Special Olympics in 2003.
Right. Yeah.
That really is the one that sticks out in our mind, kind of. It was a marvellous event to have been involved with back then. I don't think people don't realise kind of what was going on at that particular time. But
the atmosphere there was amazing.
It was unreal, particularly on the opening night.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely unreal. And, you know, I often recount that story to a lot of people, you know, and they don't seem to get it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But that one. But again, you know, we would have others like Electric Picnic. Now, we've been involved with that since its establishment 12 years ago, I think it was now, you know. But one of my own favourite ones would be what we call V Festival, which is held in Telford, just north of Birmingham. We started there in 2005 and we're still there to this day.
And what kind of a festival is that?
It was, in the early days, it was more a family-orientated type festival,
right.
A music festival there. And it started, when we took it over, it was 30,000 camping, but it regularly hits 70,000 to 80,000 camping now, you know, so it's a fair old sized one. But it was our first break into the UK, so I would have a great affinity kind of with that particular one.
Fantastic. How many of your full-time staff would be from Tipperary, or can you...
A lot of them would be from Tipperary, yeah. Now, you know what I mean, the regular core staff, the office staff, they are all Tipperary-based. Many's the time people have said to us, look, you should move your office to Dublin, this, that and other, and we've always refused point blank. In this day of communication and what have you, there's absolutely no reason why we can't operate and run the operation from here in Turles, but in the UK. And we have plans to move further afield as well, believe it or not.
Like where, Pat?
Well, at the moment, we're looking at the it's an outside chance at the moment, but we might be doing a couple of concerts at some stage in the next year or two in Germany, for instance.
Fantastic.
So, you know, we are moving.
So mainland Europe could be a market for you?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt, because I think the work ethic of the Irish surpasses most other countries.
Can I ask you about the dreaded Brexit? Have you any notion how that will affect your business, or will it affect your business?
I do. It all depends on these negotiations, I think, that's coming up as to whether, for instance, they're saying now on the UK side that there's something like 150,000 people have gone back home. And that is beginning to cause a slight labour shortage over there. Right. And I think that will continue. You know, up to now, kind of, it was labour, particularly for our end of it.
Yes, yeah.
Which wouldn't be the most glamorous side of it now, to be honest. And I think that's going to prove problematic in the next year, for the next year or two, until things settle down.
Interesting. But of course, it's the great unknown in a lot of ways, the whole Brexit thing, Pat.
It is. But believe it or not, another big problem in our game, and people don't seem to realise it, is how much things have changed from a security aspect.
Of course.
Yeah. Everyone now needs to know who's coming on their sites. You know, we view it so seriously now that we actually employ a security firm to train our staff in certain aspects of this, how to spot false ID, passports, how to do vetting, that type of stuff, how to even investigate a silly situation on site or something like that. So times have changed. You know, for instance, in Download last year, we had 60 people coming in for a night shift. And there was 20 armed UK police people there to meet him, to vet him.
My God.
So that's, you know what I mean, that's the type of thing, the challenges we're up against now, as well as Brexit. So it's not like the old failure days where you turned up and you'd done the job and everyone was happy.
Listen, well, we're delighted with your success, Pat, and best of luck to you. So Dublin Zoo is going to be nighttime cleaning there.
Yeah, it's gone to nighttime cleaning. Now, that will continue until early January.
Right.
And that has been very successful for them up there. And it's a lovely show, Fran. You know, if anyone could get up to it. But I think most of it actually is sold out now at this stage. It's
called the
show.
Wild Lights, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of all these animal-type figurines kind of lit up. And it really is... It brought me back to the early days of Blackpool, where you had the illumination.
Oh, I remember it so well,
type of thing. But it's done in a more formal setting. And it's really, you know, fair dues to Dublin Zoo for having the courage to take it on.
I love their calling your lads and lassies as well, Ryan's Cleaning Fairies.
Yeah, the night fairies, they're called at times, you know.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Particularly on the race courses, because, you know, on the, say, for the big Christmas meetings that come up now in Leopardstown and Limerick, everyone goes home, and but they come back in the following day, and the place is like it was the previous day, you know, and they forget kind of that our fairies come in overnight and do all this
and look after it all. Well, yeah. Listen, congratulations on all your success, Pat, and we were delighted to talk to you and to highlight your business as well. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks
today,
a lot, Fran, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye.
That is the managing director of the Tipperary-based company Ryan's Cleaning. Isn't it amazing that there's success stories like this under our nose, and sometimes we don't even realise what's going on? Well, isn't that fantastic? And also brilliant that Pat decided to keep the business based in Tipperary. But I suppose with a name like Ryan's Cleaning, you'd have to keep it in Tipperary. There's a boxer dog found wandering in the middle of traffic at Kilcary Cross near Nina. And our caller says that a lady has taken in the dog for now, but she doesn't own him. And it's clearly a well-cared-for dog that obviously escaped from home. So that's a boxer dog found in traffic near Nina at Kilcary Cross. If it's your dog, if you want to give us a call on 1800-938-007, we'll put you back in touch with him. Is that okay? Back with more Tip Today in a moment.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Now, every year, one particular house in Mulnahone can literally be seen from space, and it's all in aid of Crumlin Children's Hospital. Eamon Hennessy, under the very careful direction of his wife Bridget, and with the help of his sons, put up hundreds of Christmas lights round their home, complete with a life-size crib, and people come from far and wide to see it and give a donation to a very worthy cause indeed. Now, it went live last week with a representative from the fundraising team at Crumlin Children's Hospital present with family, friends and neighbours, all there for the unveiling. And Tip FM's Trudy Waters was there as well.
Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Well, I started off first, like, put them up. And this lady said to me one day, she said, why don't you do it for some charity, you know? So I thought about it. And then I said, I do it for Crumlin, the St. John's Ward. It's a cancer shelter in Crumlin. So I'm doing it since for them.
And tell me, why did you choose Crumlin? Was there any personal connection
well,
there?
Well, it's the one that ran into my head first, you know. I say Crumlin, like, you know, and I like doing it. It's just fantastic, you know what I mean? Just great.
And tell me, how many lights do you have out there exactly?
Oh, I have no idea. No idea, you couldn't count them.
And has have you built it up over the years and added as
oh, yes, we've added to it every year, like, you know what I mean? Bridget now, my wife, like, she buys stuff in. There's 14 extra things gone in this year. Ain't it, you know? And they're all fairly expensive stuff, you know?
I would say so, and it's not just lights. I mean, you have a whole crib out there as well.
That's right, yeah. The crib is nice, yeah.
And that's all lit up with lights as
that's
well?
That's all lit up as well.
Can I ask you, you must have a humongous ESB bill.
Oh, I was at the most. No.
Do you ever think, kind of, when the time comes around, because I know when I'm putting up the tree and if one bulb is out, I have to search through 40. You have to search through hundreds. Does it ever put you off?
Oh, no, not really. No. No. No, I keep going. We'll manage. We'll pay. I mean, the silver's like, I mean, we're two pensioners. You know, so.
And how long does it take you to actually put it all together?
This year, no, it took more. It took the 3 weekends. I suppose 6 days. No, yeah.
6 days hard labour. Did you drag in other family members?
And no pay.
Do you think you'll keep this up?
Oh, yes, as long as I'm able.
I have to ask you one more question. When PJ rang me yesterday and told me it was his dad, and he goes, oh, no, well, it's actually Eamon and Bridget, I had to laugh. You must
you
get some slanging. I did. I thought
the
phone was pulling my leg.
No, it's
do you get any slanging over that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Because you have the red hair as well.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, we see you last night on television. Yeah, Eamon and Bridget.
Coming out of the cold.
How are you?
Bridget, 10 years on, you're out here now this evening about to light up countless number of lights. Do you ever get tired of doing this?
Never. Good cause.
Is it a very special time
very
for you?
Special time, yeah.
I suppose I could ask, who does the bulk of the work? Is it yourself or is it Eamon?
Eamon.
You just, you instruct, do you?
I tell him what to do.
And what about, like, putting them away? They must. You need to put them away very carefully, do you?
Eamon
does all that.
And PJ.
Oh, fantastic. So you're directing it all.
Directed it all.
And provide the tea and sandwiches for tonight.
That's all.
And it's all in the aid of... It's a very good cause you're doing it for.
Yeah, Crumlin.
And what's the reaction been of people, not just here, but right across the county?
All over. It is great. Great support, like.
And do you like to see the house full? I'd say you must on a night like this.
The house full.
And that kind of has changed, hasn't it, these days? You don't get that anymore.
No.
So is it something special to look forward to every year?
It is, yeah.
So, like, while you're supporting a good cause...
You're helping yourself as well, like...
Mark, your dad has put up... He says countless. He doesn't even know how many lights.
Oh.
He started this 10 years ago. Do you think he was mad when he started it?
No. He was good. He got a head start of it anyway. He's brilliant.
And have you been helping him out through the years?
Yeah. Putting them in and out.
And there's no rows or fighting when it's been done?
Nope. No rows, no. I know, I'm delighted with it, like, so... It's in the all good cause.
PJ, you did your part.
I did, yeah. I usually go around and make sure all the plugs are 100% and make sure everything is safe and do the right thing, and that's it. It's worth the hassle of it, so. And it goes to a good cause too, so.
Your dad doesn't know exactly how many lights. Have you any idea how many are here?
I think there's about 350 plugs then, yeah. So there's a fair amount of lots, so.
When he first suggested it there, or when you first suggested it to him, why did you first suggest it?
I was just... there was a show, there was a kid in Dublin there, his nephew, but he just wanted to continue from that and just went from there. So he continued down and keeps getting bigger every year and year. So
are you very proud of him?
Oh yeah, he's keeps him happy, keeps me happy, so keeps everyone good and good old will for the year and keeps kids happy. And yeah, it's basically it.
Antoinette Kelly, Head of Community Fundraising in CMRF Crumlin. So many groups like this around the country create events like this and decide to do something off their own bat, like Christmas lights, Christmas swim, or anything throughout the year, and it actually funds a huge amount in the hospital. So events like this raise over $1 million every year that will go towards helping children, you know, on their toughest journey. So we buy equipment, we fund new wards, we also put a lot of money into research so that the treatments are better down the line for children going into hospital today, that they may have a better treatment 5 years down the line if the researchers can do their job. So we're just really, really delighted that people, and shocked even I am, that people all around the country, the community, have turned out here to see the lights. People made an effort, as they said, over 3 weekends to get this up and running again. It brings the community together and it means that people can help the sick children in Crumlin. So it's good all round, you know, and we're delighted to come.
Are you always astonished, or are you ever astonished at this stage, the amount that people will go to in terms of supporting the hospital?
No, I mean, that's the amazing thing. Even I've only been here for a few minutes and already a couple of people have told me about their link with the hospital. You know, the hospital is 60 years old, so you meet people who were there 50 years ago, you meet people who were there last week with maybe a young baby. So, you know, it does resonate and everybody just speaks so warmly about the care and the treatment and the staff and the doctors and the hospital and everything. So that really is remembered by people around the country. So when they get the opportunity to support anything that will help the children in Crumlin, they come out in numbers. So it's really heartwarming, and it's always nice around Christmas because that's a real time where people are thinking of how fortunate they are, and I suppose thinking about what they can do for children who might be in hospital.
I suppose this might spur other people on, because you know this is just two people who have done this here, and you know if everybody did something like this, mm-hmm. it'd be amazing what they would raise.
Yeah, and I'm in a really lucky position that I am in touch with people like this. Two people, groups around the country who just take it on themselves to, you know, on a weekend or on a sit around a table on a Monday night and say, what can we do to help Crumlin? And whether it's a cake sale or a coffee morning or whether it's a sponsored cycle or different things, they actually come together and they make a difference. So I often look and I kind of go, wow, look what's come out of all these little events around the country, and it actually all really goes in to make life better for the kids in the hospital. So all those little efforts around the country, you know, feed into a big massive result at the end. So we're delighted with that.
Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Isn't that gorgeous? That's our own Trudy Waters out and about with Eamon and Bridget Hennessy at their home in Mullinahone. And huge lighting rig there, and all for the very good cause of Crumlin Children's Hospital. So if you're around the area, follow the light, have a look and go and donate as well. Now, see, the whole business of Brexit is all over the place again, because both the Irish and the British government, they're set for more clashes today when Theresa May insists in a speech to Parliament that nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. And her speech comes after Leo Varadkar warned the British government that Ireland and the EU would insist that the UK sticks to the deal that it reached on Brexit, which includes the commitment to avoid a hard border. And as you know, Leo and Simon and everybody came out to say what a great victory this was and how wonderful this was. But now there's a sort of a pullback on the validity of it, and I suppose the legality of it as well. But the hardline approach from Leo, anyway, followed remarks by that idiot, the UK Brexit Minister, David Davis, who appeared to backtrack on what the government here considers to be a cast-iron guarantee on the border. And David Davis claimed that the deal with the EU was a statement of intent rather than a legally binding move. So there you are. But of course, David Davis is the guy who came out last week and said that there was absolutely no forward planning. There was no fiscal planning in the least where Brexit was concerned, and the outcome of Brexit for the UK, don't mind to say, anywhere else. So, you know, it just goes to show you. But was it a fudge? Was it a fudge that's being kicked down the road to some other time, and how legally binding will that agreement be? It'll be interesting to see what happens, particularly when we get into phase two of Brexit. Let's take a break, and we'll be chatting to one of our listeners after these.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Some fantastic Christmas celebrations happening right around the county. And Michael Fahey is with me now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, friend.
Good to talk to you today. You're in the Clonalty area, Michael.
Yeah, well, I'm from Littleton, but I hit the Clonalty Club out there to do a bit. And as you're probably... I've been just told we're doing a live animal crib out there this Christmas, and it's for the Clonalty Playground to try and play for it there for the kids.
So, very good. It's kicking off this weekend, is that right, Michael?
It's kicking off on Saturday night at 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. and just after the mass there, we hope that a lot of people will come into us. And we also have on the night, we're going to have a lot of trucks and some tractors. They're all done up for Christmas lights, and there'll be a best prize for that. Whoever has the best one will get a prize for it.
So very good. Where exactly will the crib be set up, Michael?
It's set up at the back of Simon's Bar in the village of Clonalty, where after spending the last three Saturdays, about 10 of us building it.
Fantastic.
And we got it finished last Saturday night. So I, even as I speak, I'd say to some of the girls out there now, preparing it, getting it finished off. So there.
Now, so tell us, a live crib, obviously the animals, what animals have you there?
We have a donkey, if we can catch him, we hope we can. And we have a small pony and pet sheep and a lamb and some ducks and geese.
Very good. And
the, in the bodies, in, the men and women in around it in after that, so we have.
And I love the men and the women, and of course the baby Jesus will be there.
Yes, we're still out on that one to see what we're going to do there at the moment.
You have your fingers crossed for the coming days, is that it?
Well, look, if we can get somebody 50 years old with a baby face, we'll be going grand.
Very good indeed. So, Saturday night then people can get a chance, is that right?
Saturday night after Mass, and if they come, they get a surprise because we have a craft fair there as well, Fran.
Oh, very good.
There's an awful lot of small stalls, and he's coming there. We're fairly well booked out as I speak. And also they'll get some tea and sandwiches. And I'll drop a hot mulled wine if they want that as well.
Yeah, so anyway. It sounds fantastic. Are you a Christmas person yourself, Michael?
I used to be, but I like it now because I work all over the country. And I normally like to stop at Christmas because I'm just tired. Just to get the break.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see the celebrations and see the thing picking up around the country a little bit. You know, so it is.
I'm delighted to see more Christmas celebrations like your own happening, you know, which is lovely to see.
It's good for communities, and as I said, this is for a very, very good cause. They have a brilliant playground out there, and unfortunately, like a lot of things, money's always tight.
Yeah.
And the Clonalty Vintage Club came up with the idea of doing this to try and help them out. But even on the Sunday morning, there'll be breakfast served there on Simon's Bar, so people come along. You'll be well taken care of. It costs a couple of bob to get in. I'm not sure what he said. I know it's minimal, but it will be good.
All right. Well, listen, you sell it extremely well anyway. Happy Christmas to you, Michael.
Just before I go, friend, happy Christmas to yourself and TIP FM, and Santa will be there as well for both days, okay?
Very good indeed. Well, I've been a very good boy this year, so I'm hoping for great things anyway.
We'll get you a new banjo or something, so we will.
Good luck to you, Michael. Thanks very much indeed. That is Michael Fahey there speaking to us about the live crib that's happening in Clonalty. By the way, I got a chance to visit Santa and to drop in on the Ross Grey Festival on, I think it was Saturday evening I was there, and it was absolutely fantastic at Damer House there. Really a credit to everybody involved. It was just a magic wonderland, and I got to meet Santa and I got to have a chat with Santa, and Santa told me that he listens to the program all the time, which was great as well. Trudy, you've got a few texts and calls you're going to leave us with.
I do, and I didn't realise, Michael, your love of banjos there, Frank.
Everybody's sarcastic about me and banjos for some reason.
Well, no. Yeah. Some of the things that have been said. Mm. Anyway, moving on swiftly in relation to the piece in Bridget and Eamon's Home, and I have to say they were just fantastic. And I just really have to say, the community spirit out there was extraordinary, the way everybody came together. Yeah. It was such a wonderful gathering. And, you know, there were local representatives there, but they were there as neighbours and friends. And John from Crokinore was there, as we both said, formerly, little more formally less attired than the last time we met at the Business Awards. But yeah, just family and friends. And they were really boosted by the fact that a representative from Crumlin Children's came out to them, you know. And it made it all the more special. But I have to say, as some of the texts here are saying, what is their ESP bill? It must be enormous.
It must be incredible, yeah.
But other callers coming in here saying, you know, all were fed and watered, and fair play to Bridget and Eamon, PJ and Mark. And Elaine also said, it was lovely to meet you. And Elaine, it was lovely to meet you too. And then we had a lovely caller in then, John Hennessy, and he wanted to congratulate Eamon and Bridget and said it was just wonderful. He said that their son was very ill and they thought at one point that he had cancer. He was treated for 3 weeks at Crumlin Children's. John said they were just astounding. They were incredible, but not just to John. They were incredible to John's wife, who was travelling up and down. And John got to meet the likes of Bono and Pat Kenny and various other celebs that happened to be there. But he's now 15. He's doing very well, but he's extremely thankful to Crumlin Children's. And he's so thrilled that, you know, families like Eamon and Bridget will do events like this to support Crumlin Children's Hospital or any, you know, well worth a deserving cause like that. Another couple of ones that have come in, in relation to plastics, in relation to our recycling pieces, plastic should be banned. 350 billion tonnes of plastic is made every year, and that increases by 10% each year. We now have synthetic fibre made from plastic, including recycling. And recycling plastic discovered in drinking water, including well clothing. Clothing manufacturer known this for years. We've lots of salt coming from our roads, plastics in the air, plastics in the water, washing machines, dryers, vacuum cleaners. Martin thinks our time is running out.
Yeah, you'd imagine something can be done about plastic in the near future, wouldn't you?
You would hope so. I do have to say, when I was a child, there's a beautiful beach down in West Clare, not too far from where Donald Trump has his golf club, but that we used to frequent in the summers and the Easters and et cetera, et cetera. When I was a child, that beach was spotless. It was pristine. On any given weekend, I'd walk there 6-7 in the morning and it's full of plastic.
Wow, isn't it?
Plastic. It's just, it's disgraceful.
Well, what brought it home to me was about 4 years ago, a plastic bag blew up to a top tree near our place. Right. And the blooming thing is still there, you know? So you're talking about biodegradable. This thing is for... So it lasts and lasts and lasts. So we have to do something about it. Trudy, thank you so much indeed for that. Trudy produced Own is on the way. And we'll be back with you tomorrow at the same time of 9 o'clock. In the meantime, look after yourselves and be good to yourselves, won't you? Bye-bye.